Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to today's Sherlock's podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, something a little bit different. I have in the hot seat JD Wilson-Jenkins, who is the marketing and communications manager of Lello, and Kate Moyle, who is an author and psychosexual therapist. She has written a book called The Science of Sex. Today, they're here to debunk the myth behind sex toys, why we need them, why they're useful, what to use, what to try. Lello is a brand that we have worked with at Sherlock's for a really long time, and that's because they really have been game-changing in the sex toy industry. Their products are so stylish, so attractive. They look like skincare products. So we're here to have the conversation that no one else is having, from how to have better communication with your partner to how exactly to make the most of sex toys. It was a really informative conversation. So I hope you enjoy. Today's podcast is sponsored by Lello, leading luxury sex toy brand. I'm joined by author and psychosexual therapist Kate Moyles and marketing and communications manager of Lello, JD Wilkinson-Jenkins, to discuss the pursuit of better sexual experiences, from overcoming sexual anxiety to reinvigorating long-term relationships. Welcome both.
Thank you.
So nice to have you. We're going to talk about sex, and we should say kind of from the offset, we're talking about sex for everyone, wherever they sit on the sexual spectrum. I mean, Kate, you must see people of, you know, of all kinds of persuasions, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that unites us all when it comes to sex is pleasure. All of our bodies are designed to feel pleasure in the same way in terms of kind of the anatomies and the mechanisms. You know, our brain has a particular area which is about corresponding kind of nerve endings in the body to touch. But it's really about all of us exploring our bodies and working out what feels good, irrespective of, you know, whether we're having sex with ourselves, a partner, you know, anyone.
And JD, I mean, Lello, we're going to get to the product, but basically, again, for everybody, whoever you're having sex with, right?
Absolutely, yeah. There's something for everyone, and I think that is really important for us.
What's the, like, number one issue that the majority of people come and see a psychosexual therapist for? What do you see coming up time and time again?
Time and time again, apart from things like sexual dysfunctions, we see sexual anxiety, which I would argue is kind of the root of most sexual problems in some way. Mm-hmm. And then things like desire are massively, massively showing up for people and causing problems.
And JD, I mean, we're going to talk obviously about Lello in detail. We've got lots of, you've got some products here. We're going to talk through them. But what is it kind of, where do you guys find that people really need your help? Like, where do sex toys come into it?
I think the biggest problem that we probably find is that people are very unsure, especially if you're new to sex toys, where to begin. The market is unbelievably saturated. There are so many products, there are so many colours, there's so many sizes, there's so many benefits. Trying to find what works for you is the kind of key to all of this. And I think, yeah, that's the problem that I think a lot of people, they feel it's a bit intimidating or overwhelming.
We always, whenever we work with you guys, whenever we run news stories on sites, like, nothing performs better. Sex content performs so well. Lello performs, so there's a reason that we've worked together for so long. It performs so well. And it's so crazy that there's obviously such a market for it. But yeah, the conversations aren't being had. Anyway, so here we are. That's the point. let's start with sexual anxiety. Mm. That's the first thing that you mentioned, Kate. What does that mean? What does that look like?
Basically, it means kind of worries about sex. So thoughts about sex, which can become interrupting. So we know that distraction, which can be anything in life, but also the thoughts that are happening in our head, can interrupt our sexual functioning, can take away from pleasure, can get us in our heads. It's that sense of worry or concern or foreboding a lot of the time. So what it means is that often people kind of will behave in a way which means that they pull back from sex or anything that might lead to sex, and particularly in relationships we see when couples get stuck, that's a real problem.
What are those? I mean, there's kind of obviously so many external factors that can play a part in that, but presumably it's getting worse. You know, I'm thinking of our shortened attention spans. I'm thinking of all the technology we're surrounded by all the time. Presumably that's really on the increase.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, we're kind of taking our to-do lists to bed with us a lot of the time, and none of us are switching off. Like a 9-to-5 model of work doesn't exist anymore. Like, how many of us sit in bed on our phones, completely distracted? And what that does is it keeps you in the headspace of, what have I got to do? What's been going on? And it interrupts our ability to switch off, which is kind of what we need to do for sex. Like, when we're enjoying sex or having the best sex, we're not thinking about anything apart from what we're doing. And definitely it's that kind of sexual problems can leak into life, and life can leak into sexual problems.
The phrase kind of what's normal, right? Is, so we kind of attach that to sex almost, because that is that must be because sex is the one thing where, well, I guess because we don't talk about it, no one knows kind of what is normal, what isn't normal. I wonder if you guys have some stats or some, like, how often should we be having sex? I know the answer is, of course, it doesn't matter, but kind of what's the sort of vague answer for a healthy relationship? Is there an answer, JD?
So, I mean, research has come out that I think a lot of people think that the amount of times we are having sex should be around 3 times a week. That's not the case. It's actually around 3 times a month. And the research that we've conducted at Lello has actually found that there's a sexodus happening. So we kind of release a report every year, essentially looks at the key emerging trends that are happening in sex and relationships. And we've actually found that there's a decline in sex year on year. And it's decreasing mainly from the pandemic, actually. So I think during the pandemic, we obviously saw a massive increase in the use of sex toys. Obviously, everyone was at home and kind of, you know, bored and alone, etc. So 60% of people in the UK have reported that they've only had sex with one person in the last year. So our expectations of everyone's having more sex than us is definitely not the case.
That's interesting. So sorry, and presumably that includes married people or those in monogamous relationships, that 60% stat as well?
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense. Why has it declined since the pandemic?
I think there are a lot of factors. And I think exactly to your point, Kate, stress is a massive component. And we've seen a lot of changes recently in the last few years, especially in the UK, everything that we're seeing going on at the moment. But yeah, we're seeing an increase in the use of technology and we're seeing a decrease in human connection. I think that's essentially what's happening.
Yeah. And the decrease is decade on decade. So we're seeing from the NatCell survey, which is the biggest survey we've got of UK sex lives, that the pandemic, I think, has accelerated something that was already happening.
That's really interesting. How important is sex? Like, again, I'm sure it's personal. I'm sure it comes down to one's own relationship. But do we need to be having sex?
No, I think it's as important as the people having it want it to be. So for some people, particularly if they're single, because I think one thing is the conversation about sex tends to typically kind of orbit around couples and people in relationships, and that shouldn't necessarily be the case. But we know that for some couples, they're happy not having sex very often if they're aligned in how happy they are with the oftenness of it. And for other people, they might be kind of single but not having a lot of sex but really happy kind of masturbating, having solo sex. For other couples where there's this kind of mismatch in how much people want to be having sex, that's typically where we see the conflict. And a lot of that isn't just about the act of sex. Is what does it mean for me to want to have sex more than you? What does it mean for me to feel that you're not approaching me or initiating sex or attracted to me? Or and that's where all of the stuff kind of spins from.
That makes sense. Let's talk about how to improve it if you don't feel like you're having enough. What kind of, I guess, obviously there's a level at which, you know, you might have some problems, you might have some, you know, a point at which you do need to go and speak to a therapist. But before that, if you feel like you should be having more sex, but you're in a relationship, I suppose I'm talking about those in a relationship, what should you be doing?
Well, the one thing is it's not going to change itself. And this is something that I think I hear from people all the time, the phrase, like, I just thought it would sort itself out. And nothing in life just sorts itself out if you don't do anything about it. But we have this kind of magical view of sex and relationships that they should just work, like they should just happen, my partner should just know what I want. And approaching it with your partner, if you're in a relationship, has to be the first step. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. I think we think that these, you know, these phrases like spicing it up or like changing it up, we think they have to be huge, and they can just be really small steps. But a conversation with your partner is a great place to start. It's actually the bit that most people don't want to hear. They don't want to hear that they have to talk about it. But really is the best way to kind of start making those changes.
we talk a lot about scheduling sex and and you know, obviously everybody has a differing view on that, but can that be a really helpful tool?
I don't recommend scheduling sex, but scheduling like the time to be together, to give each other your attention, to kind of touch, play, basically to have each other's focus and attention, and including in that some kind of physical touch. Mm-hmm. When we schedule sex, what it does is it creates pressure and expectation, and that can be counterintuitive.
There's nothing less sexy than being like, right, 6 o'clock is there.
7 p.m. sharp.
Exactly.
And we see that for people when they're trying to conceive. You know, if they're circulating, you know, keeping sex around time of ovulation, sex can get really stuck, feel really functional and not fun. People can really feel like an impact of desire loss, because it's become all about kind of doing it at a certain time in a certain way and what you want to get from it, rather than actually the act of doing it for fun and pleasure.
You talked a bit about communication, having to have that conversation as the first port of call. Have you got any advice on how to begin having these conversations, ways to use it, ways to take the emotion out of it?
Start with the positive, because the minute you're saying to your partner, they're going to feel criticised and that's going to shut it down. So start with, you know, I really enjoy us doing this together, or remember that time we had sex on holiday, or how have you thought about maybe us trying sex toys together? You know, whatever it is, try and focus on that kind of togetherness and the we and the fun bit. And the other thing I say is you can kind of L-shape the conversation. So it might be something like, using today as an example, I heard a podcast today and they were talking about sex toys. Have you ever wondered if it'd be fun for us to try that? And you can use it as a kind of pulling it off something else, which means it doesn't feel like the onus is on you to have started it.
Mm-hmm. And that's just a
exactly.
Let's talk about other misconceptions around sex, you know, other than that we should all be doing it every day of the week. What else, Jaisie, has come from your research that has been really fascinating in and around the way we all perceive sex?
Not necessarily from our research, but I think overall there is a misconception that sex just means penetration, and it doesn't actually have to be that way. Obviously, a lot of us know about the study of the orgasm gap, where 75% of heterosexual men will experience an orgasm during sex, but only 33% of women will. So clearly there's a massive problem there. And I think if we saw sex as so much more than just penetration, if it was, you know, clitoral stimulation, is it anal play, is it oral, there are so many other ways to get people to orgasm. And I think we should view that as a new perception. I think
let's talk about that orgasm gap. What is that? Is that purely medical, scientific? Like, why is the rate so much higher for men?
The idea that we have of sex isn't necessarily what sex is. Sex is so much more than just penetration, and I think if we as a society kind of knew that and had ways to explore that and felt comfortable and safe to explore other areas and other sensations and other experimenting in the bedroom, I feel like things would be a lot better and the picture would be a little bit clearer.
It's not biological or anatomical.
It's not, okay.
No, it's a difference in, and we're talking about heterosexual sexual experiences here. So the gap disappears when women have sex with women and when they're masturbating. And, you know, even things like the fact that we don't use the correct anatomy terminology a lot of the time. You know, we use the word vagina colloquially to mean vulva. That eradicates the clitoris in one swift move. And so it's in the education, it's in the conversation, and it's part of the discussion for everybody.
Any other misconceptions in and around sex?
I mean, I think there is a perception that everyone's having more sex than us. And I think that's exactly what we were talking about earlier. I think there tends to be a pressure on when you're with your friends, everyone might be talking about it. And I think there's a perception that everyone is having more sex than us. And it's not entirely true. If we look at the frequency in the UK and the average, that's not the case. And as I said earlier, we are experiencing a decline in sex overall year on year. So yeah, I would say that is a common misconception. I think we should all take the pressure off ourselves.
Frequency doesn't actually tell us anything about satisfaction, and the goal of sex should be about fun, you know, pleasure, play, whatever it means to you or whatever you want it to be. And it's not this static entity in our lives. It kind of constantly like adapts and changes. And I think one of the biggest myths, again, is that desire looks like it does in all the movies. You know, we're going to burst through the door, like slam each other against the wall, that it's this kind of bolt of lightning and that's the only way. It's spontaneous, exciting. We know that desire can be triggered, and so that sometimes we start something and then the desire kind of emerges. And I think if we really broke down the conversation around desire, then a lot of people would feel like they're not so stuck.
Yeah, that's so true. That's such a good point. It's so like romanticized in films.
So romanticized.
It's not reality. let's talk about libidos and increasing your libido. You know, if you do feel like you want to have more sex, or you know, you're mismatched with your partner, if you are in that scenario, or even if you're not, even if you just want to increase your sex drive, what can you do? What are the options?
One of the things is leaning into the responsive desire, which is creating those kind of opportunities for it to happen, but also being open towards things. So one of the kind of combination is being open to potentially sexual situations with your partner, and then the type of touch and stimulation that you're doing in those circumstances. Because so many people, linking back to the kind of anxiety point from earlier, will pull away from anything that might lead to sex because they are so focused on it, well, if it's intercourse or it got turning into a sexual situation. And if they feel afraid of that, they'll kind of cut everything out. And that's when people get a bit stuck. So creating the opportunities for that to happen and a bit of time for each other. You know, modern life is so busy. We're all so distracted all the time. You know, not really giving each other much attention. It's kind of not really a surprise then that we miss all the cues for sex a lot of the time.
What about body issues, insecurity? That can obviously be a factor for so many women. You said, I guess that comes into the anxiety thing as well. How do you overcome insecurities in the bedroom?
I think actually sex therapy is a really good angle to go down. And I correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, we've had a lot of, I've had a lot of friends in my life who not necessarily in relationships, and they're not going to sex therapy because they need to improve their sex life. They're going because they need to improve their body image, and that then impacts their sex life. So I think that is a really good place to start.
Yeah. And I think it's about building a relationship with your body and pleasure. And we know that kind of body confidence isn't about how you look, it's how you feel. And so many of us, when we then introduce someone else into that, if it's partnered sex, if we don't feel comfortable in ourselves, then someone else witnessing us can feel really intimidating or really vulnerable. And I think working out how you can make yourself feel good in your body is a big part of that. And, you know, it's a big part of where self-pleasure and, I mean, things like sex toys can really come into it as well.
Well, obviously, I feel like there's the toys, the elephant in the room. We will get to them. But I just want to ask about foreplay before we do, because obviously that's, you know, you guys have both mentioned kind of not being so focused just on penetration and kind of, I guess, thinking outside the box in a way. How important is foreplay? And also, does foreplay only have to mean the sort of traditional foreplay that we know? Or are there, you know, is, I don't know, going out for dinner foreplay, kind of what counts?
The word foreplay indicates is that it's only something that comes before something else. And I think that feeds into like a lot of the messages about sex, which is like we do that first and then we do intercourse, or then we have penetrative sex. And actually, when we just kind of break it all down and just call it sex, and we talk about moving from kind of, in psychosexual therapy, this linear model of we do X and Y and Z and then we're done, to this more circular kind of we can do like what we want when we want to. But the non-penetrative sex side of things, if that's what we're talking about, is so important. We know that's how most women and people with vulvas are achieving orgasm. The clitoris, you know, the most recent research we have estimates there's 10,000 nerve endings. And that's how most people are enjoying themselves. But also we're breaking up routines. We're trying to do things differently. And yeah, I think going out for dinner can totally be all a part of that. It's all about building desire and anticipation.
Let's talk about toys. We talked about orgasm a little bit and sort of that goal. And I suppose my first question about toys is the point of them purely to reach orgasm? And how important is orgasm within sex as kind of the end goal?
A lot of people who haven't experienced sex toys, for example, are very happy with manual masturbation, for example. It's not something that you have to use. And if it doesn't work for you, you don't have to go down that route. But there are massive benefits to using sex toys. There are so many people that have come to us as a brand who have said, this has changed my life. I didn't know I could orgasm before. This is, you know, I've discovered I have a G-spot. So I think it is a really good angle to go down if you are looking to elevate your solo play, if you're looking to bring in something new and different into your relationship. So, yeah, I think there's some really strong benefits that people are coming to us with anyway.
And the orgasm factor, how essential is that? I suppose, Kate, that's a question for you, kind of how essential is orgasm as part of a complete sexual experience.
Yeah, it's obviously, you know, one of the biggest benefits, undeniably. But if you're someone who's struggling with it, ironically, making it the focus of what you're trying to achieve actually means you're less likely to achieve it, because that in itself becomes a distraction. So it's great if you feel comfortable and happy in that it just will happen when it happens. But getting really hooked on it not happening, or getting really hooked on it, you know, it's such a common thing that people say, like, the more I thought about it, the less I knew it was going to happen. And the great benefit of sex toys is they offer a different intensity. They offer a different sensation. They work in a different way. So they're the perfect plus, you know, the perfect and.
Okay, so let's talk a bit about Lele. What is it that makes your toys different?
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
So Lele stands for luxury, erotic lifestyle objects.
Nice.
So very nice.
I like that. Yeah.
And I think what stands out with Lele is that it genuinely is luxury, and our products are made with such high quality. And you can tell that all of the material, just touching it. I mean, you can touch it if you want. It's sitting there.
We'll touch it in a minute.
But it feels amazing. It's body safe as well. The main thing with Lele as well is the technology that we have. So with a lot of the toys, and what I'll go through later, is you'll see, you know, the amount of modes that there are. There's very specific technologies that we use, and we take years to develop and to build based on customer research. What's really important is the messaging behind Lele. It's very much that we want to make sure that these are objects that people will be proud of to have on their bedside table. And you can just see from the design, the innovations there. And yeah, something that we're really proud of.
Because sex toys have come a long way, right? Yeah. Like, when I think for so many of us, probably even still, they're picturing some, I don't know, Sex and the City, like bright purple buildings, right? Like that's the image, is it not? Like it's evolved a lot.
And they're not, they don't have to be really phallic. And a lot of people are looking for something different. And Lele have won so many design awards for the products, specifically for the reason that they are really aesthetic.
So true.
There's something about, you want to like the thing that you're using. You want to choose it because it offers you, you know, different it sounds small, but like different colorways, different like shapes, different styles. And I think we all think that sex toys, I mean, historically, they basically kind of mimicked like the human form, and they don't necessarily have to anymore. And the design, you know, is really exciting, like seeing how much things are changing and how differently we can create them.
I think you're so right. And like, obviously, you know, everyone here would agree that there should be no shame in it. However, traditionally, you know, these at least take away that sort of the fear or the shame of having a big purple dildo in your bedside table, right?
Everyone has the fear of the bedside drawer being open.
Right, it's that, again, it's that 90s movie thing that we've been taught to fear. So at least they look like skincare products, and so happy days. Okay, let's get into it. Let's have a look. So hang on, we've got them on a tray, bear with. Okay, right, hang on. I'm going to pass you the tray because JD, this is going to be, sorry, it's quite heavy. If you pass it over to JD, thank you. It's there's no point me having them. Okay, so talk us through. I'm sure, yeah, I'm quite sure. You do you. Tell us about the bestsellers to start with.
So this is the sealer. Sealer Cruise. Essentially, this is a clitoral vibrator, and I mean, we have many on off, like, you know, on our site, etc. But this one, I think, has become a bestseller purely because it's gentle. And as you can see, there's a large mouth here. A lot of the sex toys that you'll see in the market have a slightly smaller mouth and are a lot more powerful. but this offers a very gentle feeling and sensation. And I think as well, I mean, I don't know if you can see here, but it's a really, the reason I say that I recommend this to everyone who hasn't had a sex toy and is just about to start, it's really simple to use, basically. So there's 8 modes and you just literally have a plus button and a minus button and you can increase the sensation and decrease the sensation.
And it vibrates.
And it pulses.
Got you.
So okay. It's suction.
And so the increase mode is a high, is it's faster or it's more powerful?
There are different, if I can kind of describe yeah. it. But so like sometimes it'll go like this.
Yeah.
Other times it'll go like this.
Got you.
And it varies based on the intensity, etc.
Okay.
So yes, I highly recommend this if you haven't tried sex toys and it's something that you're really interested in, specifically for solo play, but mm-hmm. you can also use it with a partner, absolutely. And yeah, I think it's really beautiful. Something you can add in your handbag.
It is very pretty. That's obviously a great option and that yes. makes total sense. What kind of, if you are new to the sex toy market, kind of what are the attributes you should be looking for?
I mean, I think that's a great start because it's not super, super intense. Like lots of people, I think when they first start yeah. out, they choose something that can be so intense that kind of everything's over in 30 seconds and they're like, I don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. It was too much, absolutely. Too far, like too much too soon. Mm-hmm.
And I think what I'd also say is, I think when you're choosing a sex toy, I think a lot of us in every area of our lives will go to our friends for recommendations, whether it's fashion, whether it's beauty. And I mean, I'm learning as I get older, I can't do that. I mean, I'm 5'1" and if I ask my friends who are 5'10" for their jean recommendations, I can't do that anymore. And I think the same goes for sex toys. I think everybody is so mm-hmm. different and you have to figure out what is right for you. So what I recommend, because I think the journey in choosing a sex toy is quite difficult, I highly recommend kind of looking at how you enjoy pleasure by yourself. So if you do engage in manual masturbation, what does that look like for you? Is it internal? Is it external? Is it both? You know, how do you enjoy that yourself? And there are many toys that you can look at. Say, for example, if it's internal, you can look at G-spot massages, for example. If it's external, you're looking at more bullets, wands, something like this, for example, mm-hmm. and then dual as well. So dual is when it's both internal and external, which I can show you later, but yeah.
Go for it. Let's have a look. Go on. Let's get the dual out.
So essentially this is a dual stimulator. Mm-hmm. Actually, this is a couple toy. So if you are looking to kind of introduce something with your partner, this is a really good option. Mm-hmm. So this is called the Tiani 3. We have many Tianis. We have a Tiani Duo. We have a Tiani Harmony. There's so many. But I did choose this one just because it works really well, and it's one of our best sellers. Mm-hmm. So I'll pass it down so you can have a feel and a look. But yeah, this is one of our couple toys. Mm-hmm. So it's actually designed with couples in mind. So that bit there, that mm-hmm. is the bit that goes on the clitoris. Mm-hmm. And then the second piece that you've got, that goes inside the vagina. Mm-hmm. And then you can also use it with a partner. So mm-hmm. you can use this. So that's the remote control.
Oh, I see. So this is, how smart.
I know.
Piece of tech. Wearable tech.
Exactly. So it's really clever, actually. If you kind of tilt it to this way mm-hmm. and then tilt it the other way, it will increase its intensity.
Got you.
Because if you kind of keep it in the middle, it will kind of rumble and it'll be very quiet. So yeah, this is a really great toy for couples and it's designed for couples. Okay. But you can absolutely use it on yourself.
Got you.
And use the remote control, you know, as you... Yeah.
As you wish.
As you wish.
Cool. What other options are available for couples?
I mean, there are so many.
Endless.
Yeah, mm-hmm. endless. I don't even know where to start. But mm-hmm. I think my biggest recommendation when kind of bringing up a conversation with your partner, because like we mentioned earlier, open and honest communication is so important, especially for topics that we're not used to discussing. So I think the key here is kind of not introducing it mid-sex and they'd be like, oh, what are you doing? I think it's very much I think we should introduce sex toys into our lives because mm-hmm. of this. And then I really recommend actually shopping for a toy together mm-hmm. rather than using a toy that you use by yourself, that you're familiar with, that gives you pleasure. It should be a toy that you start off with that mm-hmm. you both have never experienced before. And it can be an experience that you go through together. So next time, I know a lot of people find that shopping in store can be quite intimidating. There's lots of eyes on you. Next date night, make some pasta, have a glass of wine, and maybe just browse some toys that will work for you.
Lelo.com.
Lelo.com.
There you go. Didn't even have to get to the end of the podcast with a call to action. Well done.
Exactly.
What's next on the tray?
So yeah, last product I wanted to show was just a vibrating couples ring. Mm-hmm. So this can be used, obviously this is for the penis, so I'll pass it down as well. That has 8 modes, so you can kind of choose whether you want to increase or decrease the sensation. And of course you can use that, You can actually, as a male, you can use that by yourself, but definitely it's suggested that you should use it together because it can really enhance your sexual experience.
And sorry, use it together, how so?
So this will go at the end of the penis, mm-hmm. and then normal penetration.
Got yep, you. Makes exactly. sense. There's obviously typical kind of, you know, we talked about dildos, but, you know, before. I feel like a bullet is also something that kind of has been yeah. around for a long time. Can you talk a bit about the merits of a bullet, kind of how you use them?
Okay. It's a great way for mixing things up. So, like, I recommend if couples have never tried a toy before, getting a simple bullet and things like you can run it all over the body and incorporate it into, like, massage or central play. It doesn't... it's not gender specific, so it's great for kind of all bodies, but it's just a way of also building up anticipation mm-hmm. and like teasing, and they're great. The Mia is a great option for that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What else is that? I feel like, you know, short of running through your entire collection, which obviously we could do, but seriously, I mean, there are so many products on site, are there not?
So many products. Mm. And yeah, I mean, okay, so when you go on site, there will always be a subcategory. So on Lello, we kind of categorise it for sex toys for women, sex toys for male, sex toy for queer couples. And yeah, I think kind of starting there is a good place, sex toys for couples, if you want to start there. But we do have a range of products, whether it's anal products, whether it's prostate massager products, G-spot massager products, clitoral stimulators. Mm. We've got so much on there. And I think the website's really good in helping to navigate the consumer journey in terms of what am I looking for, what are the benefits, and what am I going to get out of this? Because they are luxury products, and they do have a price point, and they're quite. And you want to make sure you're making the right decision. So, yeah, we really want to make sure that people are choosing the right product that works for them.
Mm. Can I ask you about what they're made from? How important, you know, you're investing in these products, right? As you've mentioned a couple of times, that they are a bit more of an investment. What are you getting for that? What's different about these products?
So, yeah, they're made from body-safe, medical-graded silicone, essentially. So they're never going to be harmful for your body. They've been tested, they've been tried. And obviously that's something that's really, really important. There are a lot of products in the market that can actually be quite damaging for you. And you've got to be really careful what you put inside your body. So at least with Lello, you know that the products are safe because they are body-safe silicone.
Yeah, because when they're not, what can happen is materials can harbour bacteria. And then obviously if you're using it again... it can, you know, puts you at risk of infections. And we know, like, vaginal pH is really sensitive. But like anything in life, we just have to kind of think about what we're putting in our bodies. And that's why cleaning sex toys is really important as well.
I was going to ask that. How do you clean them? They're electronics, so what's the best way to clean them?
Lello's waterproof. Yeah. All of our products are waterproof.
You would hope so, I suppose, wouldn't you? Got
so,
you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, cleaning, I mean, everyone does it very differently. It can be as simple as using soap and water. But you have to clean it every time you use it, essentially. Okay. We do have accessories, products like cleaning spray that you can also use. But yeah, as long as you're cleaning them, then that's the most important thing.
Good to know. Kate, do you have any other advice in terms of choosing what's right for you?
Start simple first. If you're a beginner, choose one of the more simple products, so like something like a bullet. And then once you've kind of worked out if it works for you or not, then you can kind of go further. So we have a product called the Enigma, which is like much more of a kind of advanced user's toy. It's bigger.
Yeah.
It's kind of both G-spot and clitoral stimulation. It's just not a toy that we'd recommend for a beginner. It's amazing for people who kind of know how to navigate toys a bit. But also, the looking at the website together, if you're a couple, it also gives you a chance to say, that looks terrifying, or it's not for me.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in that one. Not quite sure about that, because the no's are as important as the yeses here. And I think what JD said about introducing it to your partner, don't just kind of, you know, pull it out of the drawer mid-session and expect your partner to be like, okay, because you've caught them off guard. You might have been running it through in your head in advance. And, you know, you mentioned that scene earlier from Sex and the City. That caused such a kind of enormous explosion in the sex toy market, because it kind of put it onto the main screen and everyone was like, oh, I better get one of them. If it's on TV, I can get one.
Well, there's that amazing episode in where Samantha takes her vibrator. Is that the one you're talking about?
The one with the rabbit where Charlotte...
Oh, yes, of course. I'm also thinking of, there's the one where Samantha takes a vibrating something back to Sharper Image and she says her vibrator breaks. And they're like, this is not... No, because they're like, it's not a vibrator, it's a back massager. And then she it kind of turns out that every woman is in there, you know, thinking like using them as sex toys. Like, you know, ultimately that's not what they're for, but you know, again, we've come a long way, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned before kind of slight tangent. You mentioned before both of you were raving about a new podcast episode with, well, we don't want to divert people away from this podcast, but you were raving in particular about Dr. Karen Gurney, and you were both saying this podcast was amazing. Kind of what advice can you get from her? What should we know? Summarize that podcast, if you will.
She's brilliant anyway, and on every podcast. And this one, she just summarizes, I think, so many of the struggles that people are having with sex. So it's the new Stephen Bartlett Diary of a CEO episode, which is great to also see sex being talked about on such an enormous platform. But one of the big things she talks about is desire. You know, what is diluting desire? What is kind of getting in the way of us feeling desire? Why are so many people saying, I feel like I'm not having desire? And then one of the other things that she's talking about is about her new book, which is about kind of how not to let kids ruin your sex, or having kids ruin your sex life. And I think that, again, there's just so much that's going on, which is in our kind of current sexual culture, which is just bang on point.
Mm. What is your advice for that? In a nutshell, she's written a whole book on it, but what is the advice that you tend to give clients about maintaining a sex life once you've had children?
Yeah, I think number one is expect there to be a change. Give yourselves a break. Take it slow. And you have to kind of carve out a bit of space, because pretty much everything in your life has been turned upside down temporarily. So talking from personal experience anyway. And then you just need to be able to kind of make your way back to each other again, and making little bridges of kind of physical intimacy, approaching each other, kind of reminding each other that you're there in non-sexual ways is also going to, you know, pay dividends for when you start being able to kind of get back to having a sex life once you've actually started sleeping again.
We need to talk about men a bit, don't we? Because as you just, Jaisie, before we started talking, pointed out so rightly that we're starting to debunk sex and we're starting to talk more about it. But it does always seem to be women talking about it. It's always us. I can't really imagine this conversation happening between men, male experts. Why is it that we're asking the questions and men aren't? Are we just better talkers?
I think we're better talkers. Yeah. I think the majority of the sex toy industry is targeted at women, probably because there was such a, well, for most of history, women's sexuality came second, and sex toys largely, you know, was about kind of closing that gap. In general, we sit and we talk more, we're more open, we see women kind of having conversations about sex a lot more. We're really missing male experts in the space. I did an event just last week with a couple of men who are talking about sex, and they're hard to find, the male experts who are talking about it. So it would be great. But we see great use of male sex toys. You know, Lelo has a whole male, I suppose, department. And the sales are great. And they're really popular, aren't they?
And really organic as well. So I think, I guess I can talk about, we're running a campaign in the UK in March, exactly for that reason, because I feel like a lot of the, I'm in marketing, this is my job, I have to market to women, of course, but I also don't want to ignore that men are also buying our products, and there's a huge amount of men that are buying our products. And I think it's really important that we speak to those two and also give them the platform to be able to talk to each other about male pleasure. So we did actually just run some research in the UK about men and how they perceive male pleasure. And we actually found that 59% of men don't feel comfortable talking to their male friends about sex toys. So there is definitely a problem. Whether that's an issue, maybe it's not, I don't know. They are still buying the products. They're still obviously engaging in the market. But I do think it's important for me, especially in marketing, for a sexual wellness brand, that I'm also focusing on men. So I will be hosting an event, for example, very soon, just focusing and giving men the platform and the space and to feel comfortable to talk about sex together. So we will have like a male panelist, and
that's
we will
great.
Have
male okay, well,
media,
we'll put the details if we can in the notes below.
No, I don't
think that's brilliant.
I don't think, like, I can't imagine, well, we know for a fact that actually men wouldn't sit and openly talk about the fact that they're using sex toys, or say, you know, oh, I got the sealer, it's really good. Like, I definitely sit with girlfriends and have,
yeah, you know, absolutely.
We know that women are having those conversations and recommending toys and products kind of to each other without it being a problem or anything to be ashamed about or embarrassed about. And it's just not the same for men. It hasn't caught up.
Yeah, I can't see my husband and his boys' WhatsApp chat having that.
No, and same with my boyfriend. He's like, no, I would never talk about that.
No, I can't see that happening at all.
We'll get there one day.
They will. What else? Obviously, you know, when we ran through the products and we had some male-specific, or we had a male-specific one in there, something for couples. What else does well for men?
So we have a product called F1S V2, which is essentially a male masturbator. It basically works, you literally just place it on your penis and all the work is done for you. It's essentially like a blowjob. And it is one of the best sellers in the UK. It's actually our number 3 product and it works without us putting any marketing behind it. So yeah, it's a really great product for every man who is willing to, you know, invest in their male pleasure. And then also on the other side of that, we also have prostate massages as well, which, you know, is very much for men and can, yeah, it's definitely something that we're finding on the increase at the moment.
Okay. I mean, there's basically something for everybody.
There is, yeah.
Thank you both so much. It's been so insightful. Kate, we should say you have a book. Your book is here. This is The Science of Sex.
Science of Sex.
Every question about your sex life answered.
Yes, hopefully.
What's in it? What can we expect?
So it's over 100 of the most asked questions about sex, relationships, from what we call a biopsychosocial model, which is the biology, the psychology, and the social aspects of sex. So it's got anatomy diagrams, amazing illustrations by our incredible illustrator, and lots of facts, statistics, so the science, but in a digestible way.
I love it. Sorry, I've already seen so many questions that I'm like, hang on, bear with. I'd like to stop. You've got things like, do positions make a difference? How do erections happen? I mean, you're right. It's kind of science-y as well as the questions that we probably haven't even necessarily thought to ask, but actually kind of want to know the answers to.
What I hope for it is it's the sex education that so many of us feel like we didn't get. And it dispels the myth that there is such a thing as perfect sex.
You mean there's no condoms on bananas in here? No?
No condoms. There are both condoms and maybe a banana, but not one on a banana.
Got you. amazing. And you have a podcast as well, we should say. Tell us about your podcast.
My podcast is called The Sexual Wellness Sessions. And every episode is a deep dive into a particular topic. So Karen Gurney, who we were talking about earlier, she's done Desire, whether it's about trying to conceive, grief, being in relationships, whether it's about our sexual mindset, sexual trauma. Really, there's, you know, an episode on so many different topics with experts in that topic where we kind of literally just delve in and keep it on point.
JD, anything else that we should know about Lele before we go?
No, I think everything's covered. I think it's a brilliant brand. Very proud to work for the brand. And yeah, I think it's a really good place to start. I mean, if you're not aware of Lele, just definitely have a look. Have a look at lele.com, check it out, see if there's anything that interests you. And yeah, everything is all about feeling comfortable and, you know, within your boundaries. So yeah, if it's something that kind of you've listened to this podcast and you're a little bit intrigued, just, yeah, check it out, see how you feel, and, yeah, just explore the site.
Ladies, thank you both so much. Do go to lele.com to check out the entire range, and we'll see you soon. If you have any feedback at all, please do let us know at podcast@sheerlux.com. We love hearing from you. Don't forget also to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.